The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. So again, welcome. Welcome, everybody. Nice to see you all. The air conditioning just went on. I'll just say that this room ends up having a little bit of microclimates. It comes out right there. And so if the air conditioning is bothersome, under there is a little bit warmer. I'm just pointing this out. Usually it's fine for everybody, but... So today, I'd like to continue on this series that I've been doing on samadhi, and I'll explain what that is. And then this little series I'm doing on this is within this bigger series on the seven factors of awakening, so things that promote greater freedom, greater peace, greater ease. And one of the factors is samadhi, and I'm just spending a few weeks here kind of fleshing that out and exploring it and maybe saying a few things more about it. So what is samadhi, and why am I using this Pali word and not an English word? First, I'll start with one way that we can understand samadhi is that it's this, we might say it has these three elements, this sense of unification, kind of like this collectedness, as opposed to being really scattered and distracted and, you know, agitated. So it has this quality of unification and steadiness so that it can, the mind can land on something and not immediately just be bouncing around, but just this feeling like, you know, can have a certain amount of steadiness and some well-being. Definitely accompanied with a real sense of ease and happiness and joy and gladness, and I'll talk about a little bit about that as I go. So this idea of samadhi is something that just naturally arises. And there certainly are things that we can do to promote it and kind of like support its arising. But it also is something that just naturally arises when we're doing mindfulness practice. And we're doing it for maybe like a little bit longer. Longer being either just a longer meditation period, or maybe we do a sitting period for however long that the body can be comfortable. And then maybe staying with this mindfulness for some walking, and then maybe another sitting. So as a way that we can, maybe for a longer duration, but without the body complaining too loudly. So this one English word that is sometimes used for samadhi is concentration. But the reason why I don't like to use this word is because concentration really is pointing to this, we might have this idea, it's this microscopic focusing, bearing down onto one single point. But that's not really what it is. I used to think this, and wow, I really did a lot of, there's a lot of suffering around, you know, trying to do this. So I'm trying to kind of like unpack this and explore different ways in which we can have this experience of samadhi. And then something else I like to say when I'm talking about this is that it's not like there's, for samadhi we could say that there's a switch, it's either on or off. It's definitely a spectrum. And so we're just like moving one direction towards more collectedness, more sense of well-being, or we're moving the other with being a little more distracted. And it's not that we can't be distracted. I'm just talking about samadhi here. So I'm not talking about all of our meditation experiences and mindfulness. I don't want us to think that this is the only way. But it's just the topic of what I'm exploring and talking about tonight. So, just a little bit more, this idea of unification. There's a Pali word, I'm not going to bother talking about it, but it's, you know, kind of this idea gets brought up. There's a number of ways we can talk about or think about this. And one is that the body and the mind and somehow are a little bit more unified, of coming together. two ways we can think about that is the body is here. Of course it's here. Where else would it be? It's here. But sometimes the mind is over there, you know, fantasizing about the future or recollecting the past or something like that. The mind is anywhere except here sometimes. So that might be one way we could think about some unification, is the mind and the body being more in the together or in the same vicinity. I remember this one time that I was meeting with a meditation teacher, and this was early in my practice, and I was running a little bit late, and I wanted to be on time. I wanted to give a good impression. You know, I didn't want to be late, and I was a little bit agitated. You know, when I'm driving, a little bit irritated with everybody, get out of my way, you know, this kind of a thing. And I finally get to this appointment. I show up, and I'm in the room with the meditation teacher, and I kind of like sit down and like, okay, you know, and I wanted to talk about my practice. And this meditation teacher said, why don't you finish arriving? And that was just like such a nice way, like, okay, to finish arriving. I can do this to kind of like get myself collected in some kind of way. So that's one way we might think of unification. So samadhi is another way we might think about it, is kind of like a settling. And I often find myself doing this with my hands. I can't help it. It's, I think Andrea Fella, she has this simile that's really helpful. It's about those snow globes where we shake them up and then we put them down and then the kind of the glitter settles. It can feel like that. So part of this, maybe both a little bit of unification and settling and arriving, all three of these, is becoming embodied, to just like a feeling like we're connected to the body. That's one way we might understand kind of like this settling. But it's not uncommon for people to have this idea that it's all about how much I'm thinking. And so they're evaluating, like, am I thinking? Am I not thinking? How much am I thinking? Is this a lot of thinking? And I seem to be thinking less than last time, but what can I do to stop thinking, right? And they're just doing all this thinking about thinking. And so it's not so much that we have to stop all our thinking. That can happen. That usually happens after a lot of meditation practice, and that usually happens in a retreat setting, hours, weeks, months, and meditation. So it's not so much about not thinking as what is our relationship to our thinking. Because, right, we spend so much time thinking. Of course we do. This is what humans do. When problems arise, difficulties arise, we want to fix them. And we're so used to thinking as a way that we sit, fix and solve problems. So it's about what is our relationship to our thinking, and I'll talk about this a little bit more, and what is the content of what we're thinking? Is there a way, or maybe I should, there can be the content, but also what is the manner or how we're doing it? So I'd like to unpack this a little bit. So we can, this idea of what is our relationship to thinking, is maybe one way we can think about it, is what happens when we sit down or to meditate and we have this intention. I'll use the example to be with the breath. This is what we often teach about it, is to just, you know, be with the sensations of breathing. And then the mind starts, well, what am I going to have for dinner? Or when is that dang bell going to ring? You know, whatever it is, whatever it is. Lost in this thought, and then it's a mystery, really. Like, all of a sudden, bing, and we're kind of like waking up. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to meditate, be meditating. And then maybe we begin again with the objects of our meditation, the breath, for example. So what happens when there's that little bing? Oh, right, I'm meditating. this could be a great place to kind of like check in with what is our relationship to thinking. Because what happens in the next moment, in the next beat? Is there like, I keep on going, bink. Sometimes it feels like that, like a little light goes back on, like, oh yeah, right, I'm supposed to be meditating. Is there the next moment, is there like, dang it, how long have I been thinking? Oh gosh, I'm always thinking. Everybody else, they're probably not thinking. Oh, remember that time when I didn't have as much thinking, and it's not like that now, right? So there can be this, dang it, or this kind of, it's too bad, I wish this weren't this way. And with that, there can be a lot of storytelling, like, I'm never going to get this, everybody else can do this, or whatever it is. We all have our favorite ways of kind of like what's happening the next moment. Or maybe it could be like this ding, oh, thinking. And just feeling the ribs expand with the in-breath. And with the exhale, a little bit the stopping of the stretch. So that's another way, right? Just to label it. We could just say this word, thinking. And just begin again with the sensations of breathing. Doesn't have to be drama, there doesn't have to be an analysis, there doesn't have to be any commentary whatsoever. And I'm saying this like making it so simple, but this is definitely something we have to learn. We're so used to commenting, and we definitely have opinions and ideas on how things should be and should not be. But one is to just notice what is our relationship, and if there's any harshness there, and it's amazing, right, how harsh we can be on ourselves, is there a way that you can bring in a little more gentleness? Instead of, dang it, or maybe it's like, dang it, oh, it's okay, sweetie. And then come back to the breath, or whatever your anchor is. So the first beat might be this habitual one, or whatever our habit is. But then is there a way that we can soften it? Do not underestimate how powerful this can be. It seems like a, you know, pretty straightforward, and it's not even about being mindful or something like this, but this can make such a difference to soften as best we can our relationship to the thinking. When we discover that we've been lost in thought for however long we've been lost in thought. And then maybe along with this is to recognize that there's actually three moments happening. There's the being lost in thought. And when you're lost in thought, no problem. You're just lost in thought, right? You're just planning or remembering something or rehearsing a conversation or whatever it might be, right? There's nothing, you're just lost in thought. That's how it is. And then there's this waking up moment. And then there's our reaction to that moment. And sometimes it's helpful, or I would say maybe it's always helpful, to just notice there's these three different steps. Because sometimes they get all mushed together, and there's only really one step that there's a place where we can do something. And we're lost in thought, we're lost in thought. That's just the way it is. Nothing we can do there. Nor can we like make ourselves wake up from lost of thought. If we could, you would not be here at a meditation center. You would just be home, you know, waking up from whatever you needed to. But it's our reaction to when we kind of wake up to our thoughts, the fact that we've been thinking, that's where there's something we can do. And to soften, bring in a little bit of, in whatever way is helpful and supportive for you. I use this word, oh, it's okay, or oh, sweetheart, or honey. For some people, that's like, no way, that just feels too weird. And for some other people, it feels like a nice way. Whatever feels helpful for you to soften any harshness, and then just begin again with the sensations of breathing or whatever your object used to be. Then I'd like to point out that, like, not all thoughts are the same. Of course, not all content is the same. But one way we might think about it is sometimes our thinking is like we're writing a novel. It's a little bit of drama, and there's a plot, and there's lots of characters, and you know, just you turn the page, and it goes on and on and on. This is when we're lost in thought, like a lot of words. This is what happens. It's okay. But sometimes we can just get it down to a chapter, kind of like the, you know, this train of thinking. It's just a chapter. Not as many different scenes or not as much drama. Maybe there's just one drama, one thing that has some emotional charge to it. And after that, maybe there's some waking up. And then it can be paragraphs. And then it can be sentences. And then it can be words. And so with this settling practice is this kind of process of going for long novels, or maybe it's a nonfiction, just some big book. Okay, you know, so the down to chapters, paragraphs, sentences, and then words, just like maybe a single word. So this way of evaluating whether we're thinking or not, that turns out not to be so helpful. Because there's so much kind of like judgment that gets associated with it. There's often when we're meditating, we have this idea, I shouldn't be thinking. This is a really common idea. I hear teachers talk about this. Maybe not as much mindfulness teachers, but it's such a common thing for meditation. You have this idea, okay, it's supposed to empty your mind. Yeah, we can't just sit down and empty our mind. That doesn't happen. So that's just one way to think about this. We're just moving to the thoughts are less, it's less of a thought train, less complicated, you know, it's just less of a story and more, when I'm talking about it, just comes down to a sentence or a word. Usually when it's kind of quieted to that, within there's space in between the words and the sentences, then those sentences, those words, are often about the meditation. So in the little example I gave before, I kind of said a little note, oh, thinking. So like just like maybe a label that gets put onto an experience is a way to kind of like, okay, I see you, and then I'm just going to come back to my object. So to just do a simple note, one word, can be really helpful. Don't worry if it's the right note. Just do whatever comes up first. Sometimes it's helpful to, maybe sometimes the note is like sadness or anger or itching or pressure. Like we feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against the body or something like this. But there's a way that sometimes it could also be like a sentence that's a recognition, like, oh, the breath is really slower than I realized. Or, you know, it might be something like this. So it's not really different than the meditation, but it's a way in which we're kind of connecting with or recognizing what's happening. So I'll just introduce this idea too, that we can use thinking to support our practice. That is, we might, if we find that, you know, there's this like pressure to think, or, and of course we often have this because there's so much behind thinking, like it's how we spend our days mostly. But is there a way in which we can use the thinking to our advantage or as a support? In one way, is there a way that you can give yourself some meditation instructions? Like maybe there's a guided meditation that you've heard, that you've kind of internalized, you've heard it so often, or maybe there's a favorite teacher or an app or, you know, a Dharma talk or guided meditation, whatever it might be, to just bring that up and just do a little bit of a guided meditation for yourself. for me, because I've done a lot of guided meditations, you know, with a microphone too, I find myself doing this sometimes. I'm like talking to myself, kind of like giving myself guided meditations. So maybe it's an acquired taste, and I just offer this as something that's supportive, nothing that's you need to do, but something that you might try, or to, if you feel like it might be helpful or supportive. Or there's something like maybe some like dropping in some encouragement. Like if there's this feeling like that bell is never going to ring, sometimes it feels like that. You could just say, well, everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Or nothing lasts forever. Or it's going to end. It's okay. Trying to make it ring doesn't make it ring. Right? So there's a way that we could just like give ourselves this little reassurance or encouragement or something like this. It's a way that we could use the power of thinking. Or we could also bring in some, what we might say, some borrowed wisdom. Maybe we don't have access to that wisdom right then, but, you know, we've heard this, maybe we've understood it in a certain way, but this idea of, well, things change. So this with the bell or with whatever we're experiencing, just this recognition, well, this isn't going to last forever, or if it is changing, we can maybe notice that. Or we also know, right, that there is difficulties, there's dukkha, there are things that are uncomfortable. Sometimes it's just helpful to say, well, yeah, this is uncomfortable, without having to make it be a huge problem that has to be fixed right then. So that's a way in which we can use the thinking to help support the settling, this movement from book chapters down to paragraphs and sentences and words. And I also want to talk a little bit about this well-being that's part of this settling process. It just naturally arises. We don't have to go and search for it or, you know, manufacture it or drum it up. There's something that naturally arises when there's a settling that's accompanied with some gentleness or some openness or some, not with some grasping or clinging. And this is why I've talked about how our relationship to thinking, if we can soften that, make it a little bit warmer as best we can be so helpful, because if there is some warmth and some softness in just the way that we're practicing, that definitely creates the conditions for the well-being to just simply arise. And this well-being, like in the Buddhist teachings, they talk about this a lot. There's a lot in there about this. And part of it is this, the word we could translate as gladness. So this gladness just arises when the hindrances have softened. So the hindrances are things that hinder, not surprisingly, and they get in the way of this settling process. I'm not going to go into all the gory detail about this. There's a number of talks on it, and Tanya Weiser and I will be teaching a class on them in the spring or in the new year. And I'll just say that it's some of the hindrances are like when you feel like you have too much energy, you're restless, or not enough energy, you're falling asleep. Or maybe there's this fantasizing, I just gotta get this thing. Or aversion, I gotta get away from this thing. Or what we say, doubt, this, I'm not quite sure what to do. And it's this vacillation or this hesitation. So there's a lot more we could say about that, but that's kind of these five hindrances. But when they start to settle, then there's this gladness that arises. And this gladness, we might think of it, it has this quality of guess if you go, this happened to me not too long ago, that I went for a walk and I didn't bring a water bottle with me, and I was just feeling thirsty. Like, I feel like I really need to have a drink. It wasn't like the end of the world and, you know, the walk was going to end. Like, I knew it was going to, right? But I just, this feeling like I would really like a drink. And I had a water bottle on my back at the end of the walk. And then when I just got the water and drank and drank and drank, there was like, ah, that kind of a feeling. So this satisfaction or this kind of like this sense of a relief, it's also can be like, have you been on talking with somebody and for whatever reason their cell phone or their Bluetooth device or whatever it is isn't working well and they can't quite hear, and you're like, or you hear all this background noise, they don't realize they're putting away the groceries while they're talking to you, and this bang bang and the grocery bags and all this kind of stuff, but you really want to have this conversation, and then when they stop doing that, oh, how nice that feels. So it's that gladness, that kind of this uplift and this nice feeling that happens. But then, this gladness, if this is arising, right, in our meditation practice, and there's with this settling, there's this other way that we would say joy that arises. And the joy feels a little bit different than the gladness. It's not so much of a relief, or it's not so much of a nice feeling, but joy has this really bubbly, this really exuberant, exhilarating, euphoric, rapture. Like, people use these kinds of words to describe these experiences. It can be a knock your socks off, finger in the light socket kind of feeling, or it could just be a nice feeling, this kind of bubbly, oh wow, feeling. It makes no difference where you are on that spectrum. Nobody knows why for some people it's, you know, a little bit too much, too intense, and for other people it's just this really pleasant, maybe bubbly, tingly, really nice feeling. And if this gladness was like this glass of water, I would say that the joy is more like champagne. Like, champagne happens when you're celebrating, you're happy, happy birthday, happy anniversary, congratulations. You know, it has that kind of like uplift feeling to it. So there's this joy that happens as the mind and the body are getting more and more like connected and collected and settling. And there's also this happiness that then happens. So maybe the gladness is kind of moved away and it's a little bit more joy, and there can be this happiness. And the happiness, if the joy is like champagne, the happiness is more like this hot chocolate. Like, if we're on at the, when it's a little bit cold or something, or hot chocolate, and just the way you like it, just the perfect temperature, just, you know, with the right amount of sweetness, and if you like marshmallows, there is marshmallows or whipping cream or whatever it might be. So it's this, maybe this feeling of contentment, or this feeling of, I'm going like this with my hands because there's definitely this feeling of this expansiveness, like this sense of, yeah, it's this, it's okay. Sometimes there can be tears associated with it because, like, wow, I just didn't even know that humans could actually feel like this. And there's tears, like, you just, I don't, they're not tears of sadness. It's like, wow. So this is what can happen. The vast majority of time, this happens in a retreat setting, when, because this settling and the collectedness, it takes some momentum. We have to build that, because we have to interrupt the momentum of being distracted and being busy and doing this and taking care of that and solving this problem and thinking and talking, right? Of course, we're busy with that. But in order to allow this settling to happen, often takes time. For some people, it takes, they will have to meditate for maybe years before they have this. That certainly was my experience. But it's always like a movement that direction. It's like we might have a glimpse, oh, wow, that was something there. And these kind of like glimpses are nourishing and they support us and recognize there is a different way to be in the world. There is a way in which there's some ease and some of this well-being. And maybe something that I'll say about a little bit more about this well-being and why I took the time to kind of make this difference between gladness, joy, and happiness is that as this settling and this quieting happens, and I don't want to say that sometimes we have this idea that we have to get like more and more and more concentrated, but another way to think about it is we're just noticing more and more subtle experiences. This happens with mindfulness practice, right? And with samadhi, we're just noticing things that are a bit more subtle. And I'll say that the happiness is more subtle than the joy. I talked about like joy, kind of this bubbly and wahoo kind of a feeling. And like I said, for everybody, it's different. For some people, it's just this kind of maybe tingly, really pleasant. But to support concentration, to support this movement of more samadhi or settling, is an interesting thing happens. So there's this joy and this happiness that are maybe happening at the same time, but the joy is like so loud, that's pretty much all we notice. But then it starts to like settle down and we start to notice, oh yeah, there's this happiness here that's less bubbly, that's more warm and soft and cozy. And then it starts to go like this too. The happiness starts to be more and more, and joy is kind of like draining out, and there's just this happiness. So there's this kind of this shift in the relationship between joy and happiness, and knowing this is a way that we can help support the mind, this continuing settling. So I keep on talking about, you know, okay, well, maybe this happens, this knock your socks off type of stuff happens after a lot of practice. But there is a way, as I said, like, this is just a natural process. So there are times if we give ourselves over to the practice, to the meditation practice, as best we can. And like I said, there might be, maybe it's just like a sit, walk, sit. Maybe it's a whole day. Maybe it's a few days. Or it's just every day for, you know, day after day after day. There's a way in which the mind and the body just get used to settling, and you can just sit down and this settling just starts to happen. So I'll just say here at IMC, right, we do have half days and day longs, and then we have retreats at our retreat center as a way to kind of like support this practice happening. And we have, you know, we sit here for 45 minutes on Monday nights. For some people, that's a long time. For most people, most everybody, you know, 45 minutes is a long time. So, and it is definitely something to, I don't know, I'll just say for myself, I would never go. If somebody had a 45-minute sit, no way, I wouldn't go, because I just felt like that's just not possible. But it just happened, because I just started a meditation practice and wasn't like I had to, was striving for 45 minutes. It just happened. So I just am offering this. I want to send two messages. One, that this, when the settling, the samadhi can really go into some beautiful places, that they're not the purpose of practice, but they just support our lives. This sense of well-being, there can be so nourishing. especially if we have this habit of being harsh to ourselves, to have these experiences kind of like helps, I don't know, like maybe place a salve on that or something like this, maybe. So I want to give that message, and I also want to give the message that we don't have to wait till we have these fantastic experiences, but just to notice and allow support, senses of well-being that arise whenever they arise. They are arising, but so often we're dismissive, like, oh yeah, okay, I have to solve this problem, I have to take care of this thing, like there's something that's not quite right, and we just have this habit, of course we do, to take care of the problem, to tune into what's not quite right. So just an encouragement to notice any feeling of well-being, openness, warmth that shows up, and this will be a support for the mind to settle. Just like settling brings up well-being, well-being brings up settling. They work together. So I want to leave a time for some questions, so maybe I'll end there. This idea of samadhi and thinking and well-being. We don't have to get rid of our thoughts. They just will, maybe we could use them as a support. And we can use well-being as a support. So with that, maybe we can open it up for questions. I'm sorry, Richard, I didn't tell you before that I was going to do this, but is there anybody have some questions? If we could use the microphone, it would be great. Or I don't know, Sveta, if there's any on people on YouTube, if they have any questions. No. Maybe we can...
Good evening, Diana. Thank you again. Well, during the sitting, I found myself trying not to be so harsh, but then once the bell rang, I was like, oh gosh, I was supposed to be in the here and now. And I was just feeling worried, and just that feeling of well-being, supporting, it just, when things happen at work and you don't feel that sense of just being present, and then you're just thinking about how to solve something, and then you're getting frustrated. I know that this practice has helped me not feel so agitated all the time, but I still get really upset when I'm feeling that way because I'm more aware of that. But I want to be okay with that, but I don't want to keep striving.
This is great. Thank you for saying this. I appreciate this very much. A few things that you said is that, first of all, I'll just say that I'm talking about samadhi here. On some other times, I will talk about mindfulness, which can be a real support for this. So I don't want to say that we have to be doing this, samadhi practice or... this is what happens when we first start noticing, like, oh my gosh, my mind, it's crazy, and I can't make it do what I want it to do, and I definitely want to feel better. This is exactly what happens. And this is an uncomfortable place where we are start to notice more and more how we haven't been noticing. And so this, any time we can bring in, remember to bring in some kindness. And usually what happens, like we'll set the intention, like, okay, when I notice, I'm going to try to be a little more kind or warm towards myself instead of harshness, when I notice the harshness. And what usually will happen is you won't remember the whole day. You will not forget. I mean, you will not remember at all. And then maybe the next day you won't remember. And then you remember, oh yeah, I'm going to go to IMC on Monday night. Oh, right, they've been talking about this, not being harsh with oneself. And then maybe you'll remember once or twice during the day. Then maybe you'll come here or you'll hear some things, and then the next day you'll hear it a few times, and then you'll forget again. And then, so this is what happens. It's okay. It's okay. We are rewiring ourselves, right? That we have a lifetime of being harsh or trying to solve everything with, you know, pouncing on thoughts or something like this. This is a process that will takes time. But can we just be okay with, of course we want to solve it, but there's a way in which we can be okay with our not being okay. So that's the place to practice. And then I just wanted to normalize and support your idea that, of course, we have these intentions to be mindful and sometimes, and not to have the harshness, but this is exactly how it works. Just one step at a time, one step at a time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, today was pretty brutal. But I did notice something. I noticed like I would be switching positions a lot and finding a comfort in one position. And I think, oh, I'm comfortable now. And then like 15 minutes later, then like the discomfort comes and I didn't really move at all. It's just so I thought it was really interesting that like, you know, I feel my body craving the comfort of a sitting, and yet it's not satisfied with that position, and it has to change. And I just thought that was interesting. So, not really a question. I just interesting.
Yeah. It's quite something, and we'll notice, like, if you pay attention during the day, how often we are shifting our posture in our chairs. You know, maybe every 2 minutes or something, where there's a little arm moves or moves something like this. We're always shifting our postures. So, 15 minutes is pretty good, actually, compared to what we're often doing. But there's a way, and shifting our posture doesn't have to be a problem. We can say, oh, my knee is uncomfortable. Let's see, would it be better? Maybe I'm going to shift my posture now. I'm going to move my knee, and then we just move the knee. Moving the knee feels like this. So it's just incorporated into the practice.
Okay.
So, but I appreciate you saying this, Nathan. Thank you.
I'll sometimes be sitting and I notice that kind of something, all this happened today, like especially when I'm sitting with other people and it gets really still, something will kind of fall away and I feel like I'm in this like really glowy, like kind of, I can't describe it really. And I'm just like really in my body and in the moment. And it just feels like glowy. But then like so quickly, there's like this little thought that's like, is this samadhi? Am I doing it? I have to keep doing it. I shouldn't be thinking, you know? And then it like, so it's just, it never can last because my mind is trying to like hold on to it. What would you advise doing in that moment when the thoughts start to like amp back up about the state, I guess?
Yeah, yeah. This is very common. I'm nodding my head, yeah, right? Of course, this is very common. A few things. One, maybe you could make a note, like, oh, thinking or something like this. And there could be a way that that can kind of like stop the agitation of the thinking or something like this. And something else would be, do you have a sense of, like, when you say something drops, do you have a sense of, like, what supports that dropping?
I think it's, I'm not sure how to answer that specific question, but, like, what leads to it, I think, is just time and sitting and the thoughts start to quiet more and more and I can let them go. And just like the novel, it turns into words. And then it kind of sneaks up on me. It happens all of a sudden. And then, so it's not, I don't think I'm quite, and sometimes like those thoughts are just like a little, like it can hold the thought and it's just a little wave that comes and then leaves. But then like, I'm like, oh, I did such a good job letting go of that thought, you know, and then it's just, you know, they keep coming.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't have to be a problem. This is something that happens. It's, you have to experience that like maybe 100 times, 1,000 times. Like, oh, okay, that's just that. And it's not a, it's not a, once we gain familiarity with it, then the idea, oh, was that samadhi or not? You stop caring whether it is or not. It just feels like, oh, okay, this feels like the right way to go. So you're, it sounds like you're on the right way, right? Right, go in the right direction.
Just do that like 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times.
100.
Stop caring how many times, and then you're there.
Stop caring how many times. That's it exactly. That's it exactly. Okay. Okay, so we're at the top of the hour here. So I want to thank you for your practice, and I'll stay here if some people have some questions afterwards, but otherwise I wish you all a wonderful evening and with filled with some well-being. So thank you.